Welcome to the Viking Red Zone, episode 8.2, the Week 7 Review Show. We'll go over the matchups against the Federal Hockey Lancers and Week 7 of the TVC. And we'll end this episode with the VCVikings.com Player of the Week. The Viking Red Zone is sponsored by J&K Contracting. One call, we do it all. Bringing you this episode is Lug Harold and Nathan Lamb. And our special guest of the week, the voices of the Vikings, Jeff Backer and Bob Grillo.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 8.1 of the Viking Red Zone podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all. 698-3521. Episode 8, Lugs. Here we are.
Yeah, we're almost done. This is almost over.
I got to tell you, I'm kind of nervous today. Mm-hmm.
Because We have true professionals today. We have Vic County royalty yeah.
Here. I mean, these guys are in parades. I think they're making a statue of both of them.
They should make a statue of
both of them. I think that's what they're doing in front of the courthouse. That's the construction going on there.
Yeah. By the way, right in the middle of the roundabout. We're doing a roundabout with them right in the middle of the roundabout.
Yeah. So. Bob Grillo, Jeff Thacker, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Pleasure and honor to be here.
This should be good.
It's going to be great. I'm excited. It's great because they're like us. I mean, we've had so many coaches and everything here, but we've got guys that just sit in the stands and sit down and watch the games just
we're
like
all
we
fans.
Do. And we watch it hardcore, so it's going to be great.
Okay, so we have a lot to get to, and we're going to get to it quick because Bob and I have to watch the Indians game tonight.
It's like the greatest moment in sports. I mean, Cleveland's the city of champions right now.
It is.
Sooner or later, maybe not in our lifetime, the Browns will come around.
Well, you know what? As long as we get 2 out of 3, I'll take it.
That's what Meatloaf says. 2 out of 3 ain't
bad. That's right.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the Federal Hockey Review. Since you guys watch the game, we'll have Lugs give the stats. And if you guys want to give a recap of it, go ahead.
All right, I got a feeling I'm going to hear the word Cleveland a lot today, too, by the way. But all right, so let's go to the Federal Hawking Review, Week 7. We had a 2 Federal Hawking, won 41-0. Before I get into that, the junior high, we'll go to the junior high. They played Jackson first earlier in the week. They had a doubleheader on Thursday night. Junior high 7th grade lost a super close one, 16-20. 16-12. Yes, 16-12. Yeah, good reading. And good game. Caden Collins actually returned a punt return at the end of the game. It was really cool, so really proud of him for that. Junior high 8th grade lost 22-20.
Wow.
A game that went back and forth, and they were actually winning 20-18 with just a few minutes left, and Jackson scored. We were going back down to score again. It was kind of the last man with the ball, but we ran out of time on the clock and didn't make it down, so we ended up losing a close one there. Really good game, though. But anyway, okay, so we'll get back to the Fed Hawk review. Team stats for the game, 19 first downs for us, 7 for them. We had 487 yards passing to Federal Hawking's 108. Total plays and yardage in the game, we had 46 plays for 539 yards. They had 46 plays for 114 total yards. They only had 6 total yards of rushing in the whole game, by the way. We were 4 for 6 in the red zone. They were 0 for 3. One of the things that we seem to be doing well this year, which most people don't realize, is in the red zone, our percentage is really high. I mean, we get to the 20, we're usually scoring touchdowns. You know,
and that was something we were always horrible at.
Yeah.
Jeff and I always called it the Bermuda Triangle. We'd go down there and just shoot our toes.
The offense is definitely gone.
Hands off. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. They had 4 sacks in the game. That's the most sacks we've had in any game. So, you know, 4 against them. So I'll read off some individual stats here real quick. Nalen Yates had 2 rushes, 13 yards, 24 for 32 passing, 487 yards and 6 touchdowns. 487 yards is a game record that he just broke his own record from earlier in the year. 6 touchdown passes is also a game record. It was Ryan Stewart's before that, I think, with 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Nevin Yates had 3 rushes for 25 yards. I mean, we really didn't rush at all in that game. Jaden Spires, 5 receptions, 201 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's his best game as a freshman so far. Good job for him. Lincoln Hayes had 4 receptions, 75 yards. Caleb Montgomery, 4 receptions, 50 yards and a touchdown. And Donnie Stevens, I know a name we haven't mentioned a whole lot on this show, but he's kind of been right there in the middle of the pack most of the time. Five receptions, 90 yards, one touchdown. Had 5.5 tackles in the game. Led the team in tackles. That's the first time all season. Had a really big forced fumble, good hit, and one broken up pass. So Donnie Stevens had a very good overall game in that game, so it was really cool. But I want to go to Jeff and Bob here and let them talk a little bit about the game, because I know, like I said, I was kind of in the back of the press box, didn't get to see it a lot. Of course, these guys did the radio. What did you think of the Fed Hawk game, guys?
Well, I thought it was interesting. When we got there, one of the coaches shared with us that they thought they were going to just throw the ball. And literally, for the first three quarters, that's all they did. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, you kind of felt bad. Fed Hawk got to the what, 15 or so on their first drive of the game, and then kind of fumbled it away. Well, actually lost it on fourth, and they didn't get the first down. And yeah. I kind of felt like from that point on, they were kind of deflated. And, yeah. you know, everything we were doing was working well. And, of course, what they dressed, 22 kids, is that what we decided? So you knew at some point in time, because they had a lot of kids playing both ways, that sooner or later attrition was going to take its toll. But we just threw the ball extremely well for three quarters and then just kind of caught off the dogs and got yeah. the continuous clock going and got it over with.
Well, like Jeff said, usually when you're trying to hold a score down, you don't throw the ball, you run it. But we actually held it down, I think, by throwing it. And yeah. that was their plan. And I think it worked out well, and I give a lot of credit to Coach Downs. He took his starters out in the third, at the end of the third quarter, and
yeah.
That's something I thought was very good because you don't want to run scores up on teams. And I thought that we talked to some of the Federal Hawking coaches afterwards, really a class group of guys. They understand the situation they're in. They got a mm-hmm. school district with really declining enrollment.
Yeah.
And kids were really trying hard. Our hats off for them. Really, really positive guys. I thought our offense looked good with the receivers, getting the ball spread around between Hayes, Stevens, Spires. Yep. Montgomery, and I think probably just didn't want to show much either with River Valley coming up, because we really do have a chance to win the league title here if Nelsonville could upset Athens, mm-hmm. and Nelsonville beats them, and then we beat Nelsonville,
right, yeah.
then we're right there, but we got to take care of business against a good River Valley team, et cetera. Right. I thought our kicking game is getting better. We got to work on a kick return game a little bit, but our kicking game is much better. I thought Eli Downs has been a huge addition to the team. Like you said, Stevens, I've been saying for a couple of years, I think he's really improved his defensive mm-hmm. back, and here he is, I think, forced into action to play a lot of wide receiver now with the injury to Bo Michael McIntyre. And there's a guy that he'd been here this year, I thought, could have added a lot to this football team. It's really sad he had knee surgery, going to miss basketball and baseball, too. But
I didn't know. I thought he was coming back for basketball. He's actually
going to probably miss it. I don't know if you guys got it. I did not get an update on Montgomery's injury. To see how he's going to be.
I have not.
He got hurt also.
Yeah.
But I thought coaching staff did a real good job. And, you know, Federal Hawking was outmanned, but I thought our coaches showed a lot of class and something you don't often see. Not that it was a good thing.
I think if you look at the game, I think I did and talked to the coaches a little bit afterwards. I think they really went into this game as kind of, you know, obviously we knew Fed Hawk was, you know, not really the program that was going to compete with us, you know. And I think they went into this game and kind of said, you know what, we know we got to send River Valley a tape. Well, we're going to work on things we need to work on, but we're not going to show them the whole offense. And I think we really, I mean, like I said, we didn't run the ball to the third quarter, I think, right? And I know two of the runs that they had were called pass plays because I was in the booth and Nayland Audible do a run. So even the two runs that we had there in the third quarter were supposed to be pass plays too. So it was we're going to work on a pass and develop some things there, which we know we've had a lot of drops in the wide receiving corps and stuff, too, and that's what they did. So I think it was a great idea. You know, I think it just helps us out and gives us a good chance here against River Valley.
I think their running game was so good the week before, which is really the first time we've had it. It's kind of a three-headed monster back there with Hunter Nichols, Montgomery, and Nevin Yates. I think we're pretty skilled, and I think maybe we're a year away because I think eighth graders coming in, seventh graders coming. I think you could be – this is the start of something really good. I think Coach Downs has done a – really nice job with this team, and I think it's going to get nothing but better with time.
Yeah, and like I said, we got a good shot at winning some games here in the next couple of weeks.
Chance to win three.
Yeah. Close to 500, maybe even better if you know. And like I said, we still got a shot at the TVC, you know, if things go right. And
I would like to have seen us play the beginning of the schedule now because I think we've improved so much. I think if we played the beginning of the schedule, possibility instead of being, what are we, 3-4, we're maybe 6-1 right now.
Yeah. And me and Nathan were talking about this. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Unioda is ninth in their region right now. They're bordering on a playoff spot, and Piketon is fourth in their region. They're actually ready to go to the playoffs. They're sitting in a prime spot at 7-1. So I think Lincoln County, you know, even though they did start out a little slow, we've only got three wins. The teams we've lost to are all pretty good teams.
Yes.
Got to give props to them.
That's right. So that's going to wrap it up. Let's wrap that up.
Yeah, we'll wrap up the
Fed Hawk review. Fed Hawk review is over.
Yep.
So we'll be back. We'll be back with the TVC review. Back to episode 8.1 of the VCVikings.com Red Zone podcast. That's weird. I said it weird.
Right.
Brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all. 698-3521. It's time for the One Tactical Uniforms and Supplies TVC review. And we're going to go over the, three games other than ours in the league last week?
Yeah.
We were the non-conference game of the week. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we beat Fed Hawk 41-0. So we'll start with the game at Wellston. Nelsonville-York beats Wellston.
Before we do that, though, do you want to go ahead and go over some records?
Whatever. Go ahead and say.
I mean, you know, I'm okay, because we got Jeff and Bob here. So this is where next week you'll be able to hear how you guys done. But
yeah,
I just want to point out that I still hold the lead
by 4.
But just out of two, me, you, and us, you all went 5-2 last week.
5-2.
So our guest did pretty well. You got some big shoes to fill from last
right.
week. So.
Uh-huh.
But I'm 32-15. Nathan is just trailing by a little bit, 28-19. So he's close. And then Dusty, combined with the Ryan Stewart and Brad Rose, is 15-5. So we're going to get Jeff and Bob separate this week and combine them as our guest scores and see if anybody can catch up to the pros.
See where we're at.
And we use pros very loosely here. So
with a lot of Bengals stuff, so I should have a lot of pros in here.
I
Browns guys.
I just want to
You see what I got to stare at every time I get in here?
I know.
I just want to say Bob's been singing the Who Day song since he got here, but it was off air, though.
No, I'm not. I'm a fan of the big Brown buzzsaw.
That's absolutely.
Is it a buzzsaw right now? I don't know if I
can't. I'm not sure what it is right now.
It's kind of a train wreck.
It's Indian time.
That's right. We'll try.
Here we go. We got Cleveland in. Okay.
All
right, anyway, so we're back to Wellston.
Nelsonville, York. Yeah. Beat Wellston 38-0. The game that started out pretty close.
Started out 0-0.
No, like seriously.
0-0.
Seriously. I think at halftime it was like 12-0 or something like that. It was pretty close. I mean, it was still within.
Hadn't Wellston been doing that? I mean, they've been in.
Up and down.
The first half of a lot of games, and then poof, and it's done.
Yeah, yep. They have. But they lost to River Valley the week before, 14-7, I think. Mm-hmm. And then that's a game that I thought could have been a little closer than what it was. I mean, I was kind of hoping it would be. I was kind of rooting for Wellston last week.
Was it at Wellston?
It was at Wellston. Okay. So, kind of thought they would spot them a couple points, which they may have. I don't know. So.
I think if you want to take what's impressive about that game is Wellston got shut out at home. I mean, their offense isn't that bad. They got a big offensive line.
They only put up 7 the week before this.
They got Jay John. They got the other good Cox back. They got two good skill backs, and they got shut out.
I think a couple guys hurt, too, though. Yeah. I was talking to one of their board
part of the problem.
Yeah, hurt.
Getting shut out at home. I know Nelsonville's great. Don't get me wrong. No one thought they were going to beat Nelsonville, but, you know.
Yeah, that game was just two power teams just running each other. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's
exactly.
That's you'll have that. So,
yeah.
Probably the biggest surprise of the week. Athens beats Meigs, and that's not the surprise, but the surprise is that the score was 62-46, and Meigs was up in the third quarter in that game. And that's, I mean, with all the injuries Meigs has and what Athens has done, obviously they lost to Logan the week before, but I didn't expect that at all. I thought Athens would go down there and just roll Meigs.
Well, I didn't expect Athens to lose to Logan.
Nobody did.
I thought Athens was really the teams we've seen this year. Clearly the best team we've seen. And, it's a tribute to Coach Bartram down at Meigs. I mean, I think he had his kids ready. They went through a lot, losing a quarterback, a couple linemen.
Yeah.
And he's just a good coach. He had a quarterback, and I don't think he had to take his son's place. He hadn't quarterback since junior high. So probably learning the system. And offensively, they can get things done. When they played us, it was the first game without Cody Bartram.
Right.
So I think he's getting the quarterback adjusted to the system. So again, I think, like you said, it's not a surprise Athens won but by the score, but it just shows you a tribute to coaching, and those are two of the best coaches in the whole TVC.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Megs could play spoiler a lot probably throughout the end of the season.
Well, they can score like that, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they do. They're 3-4, but, I mean, anything can happen.
Right. So the last game for our review, River Valley just flat out ran over Alexander 50-7 on homecoming night in Albany, which was a shocker to me. I thought River Valley would win, but I didn't think it would be like that. I thought it would be a pretty good game.
I think River Valley's been kind of a surprise to me because they had a good senior class last year. A lot lost.
16 seniors from last
year. They've come back and really played well. And I mean, I just say about Alexander, I don't know if you could put two better individual players on a team than what they have and those two, and just athletes through and through. But obviously, if you can shut those two down, you got a pretty good chance.
Yeah, they're young everywhere else. Yeah. But Harris and Marks are two of the best players that I've seen this year.
Harris going to play baseball at OU. I saw him pitch this summer, and my son did. And he's going to be a big-time prospect the way he brings the ball. I mean, I think he went to some camp I was hearing the other day, and he was in the 90s.
He won't be the first Alexander Spartan to play.
Alexander seems to do a pretty good job getting their players to the next level.
That's right. That is right.
Well, and I think River Valley last year used their depth. I mean, they had, what, the 15 or the 18 seniors, but when we saw them, they played a lot of kids. They just weren't relying on those seniors. So I think they were prepared. They saw what was coming.
And sometimes when you have a senior class and you're – sophomores and juniors and freshmen are playing against them. You get nothing but better in practice all the time.
So sophomores had to play those seniors last year. I think even when I did my power rankings, I had Alexander dead last because we knew they lost the most seniors. I had River Valley second to last because they lost so many seniors there. And they win different ways. Some weeks they're winning with defense. Some weeks they're winning with 50 points on offense. Right, they've done that a couple times.
Well, they've only given up 14 points in their last two games.
So they're playing well where they need to play well.
They
five
are.
5-2. I
down the stretch.
5-2.
5-2, and that's the thing. River Valley, their last game of the year, they played Waverly, and we all know how good Waverly is. I mean, they almost beat Wheelersburg last week. So that's going to be a huge game, and that could be a game that catapults them into the playoffs.
Right.
If they beat us and finish the year, maybe go into that game with 2-3 losses, they're going to have a shot to make it with that game.
Yeah.
So
they
still have a lot to play for, too, just like we do, even though they've got two league losses. So, speaking of that, Wheelersburg and Waverly. Wheelersburg beat Waverly 24-13.
The Berg.
And that game was, I believe, 21-13. Waverly had the ball in the fourth quarter and couldn't score. So Wheelersburg held on. I'll admit I was wrong on that one, but Waverly is going to go 9-1. Like I said,
just pointed out, Dusty, you missed that
he
one
was
too.
Wrong.
So. But I didn't.
Texas A&M beats Tennessee in overtime, 45-38. I almost had that one. And then Florida State Miami beat Florida State.
Miami beat Florida State.
14-12. So those were our games last week.
Yep.
We split on the college, didn't we?
Yeah, we split on the college. But that Tennessee and A&M game was an awesome game.
It was.
So,
that was pretty good.
To watch that game, that was a fun one to watch. I mean,
it was good.
Win or lose, I understand why Tennessee moved up the rankings, right? Didn't they move up the rankings on that?
They did.
So, I mean, they lost the game, and I think they moved up the polls. That was that good of a game. So, kind of cool to see what happened there.
Okay, so that's going to do it. One Tactical Uniform and Supplies TVC Review. We'll be back in a minute with our weekly guest conversation. Welcome back to Episode 8, Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. And we have, obviously, Jeff and Bob. Bob and Jeff, however you want to say it, with us.
Jeff likes to have his name first for some reason. I get secondary all the time.
And you're never Bob. You're Robert. Or you're Rob.
Rob. I don't know how that happens.
So we're going to give you guys a segment all of your own. We're going to start out, talk about the second grade Little Vikes team that you coach, Bob, and then once we run through that, we've got a couple questions about maybe your broadcasting career. So,
Well, okay, we'll get to that in a minute. It's been sort of a non-stellar
career. Better do the part, non-stellar the good part first. Well,
our second grade team, Jeff coached with me. There was Jeff Thacker, myself, Dylan Guthrie. It's easy because we had three Tylers, Tyler East, Tyler Dodrell, and Tyler Ward, and we had Kyle Madison and Dave Martin coach. So it was a great time. This is the fifth group of second graders that I've coached, and this team here was pretty good. We played mostly third graders, but we ended up going 7-1-1, had a good year. Great group of kids, never had a problem with any of them. And it was just really a wonderful season. Josh Montgomery, Deegan Rose, Chase Greer, Bradley Browning, Landry Mace, Colton Prater, Riley Martin, Alyssa Perry, our free safety. She would come up and stick you.
Absolutely.
Zeb Martin, Brady Anderson, Josh Henderson, Danielle Fowl, who played both sides of the ball for us on the line, Stephen Murnahan, Gage King, Justin Wilt, Lucas White, Nash Yates, who I believe will get more nicknames than any player in the history of football when he's done. He could rival Dylan Guthrie for the most nicknames ever. Gavin Jones, Richard Markin, Logan Parkinson, and Jacob Thacker. And so it was a really good time. We just finished our last game. We actually had played a game Monday of last week at Athens on the turf. We won it. And then we turned around and played Jackson Wednesday. Little kids can bounce back quick because coaches don't, but little kids don't. Yeah. And we were down 8-0. First time we've really been down at half, and we ended up scoring 22 straight points with kind of a heated pep talk given by the coaching staff.
They
came back and won, and it was a really big crowd. It was a good time. We played no home games. We were road warriors.
Really?
So we went 7-1-1 and had a good season, and looking forward to next year. Got a good group, I think, of incoming kids. I mean, being – running the basketball league and stuff, I kind of know the kids and kind of know the parents, and you can kind of tell you got a pretty good group coming. So should be a fun year.
Good.
That's awesome.
Yep.
And it was. Jeff, you got anything on the second
grade? They were great kids. I'm telling you. You mentioned Alyssa and Danielle. Absolutely would just stick you and just laugh. I always told Alyssa, I can always tell when you get a big hit because you get up and laugh. And she said, it's fun. And I'm like, okay.
It's kind of funny because we probably had 30, 40 plays out of different formations. And it was really, the kids were pretty smart. We were like, some of their officials at their games said, never seen a second grade team get to the line like this. I said, it takes us about 5 seconds, so how do we get to the line? So we don't do a lot of passing because I'm a Woody Hayes disciple. Most of the time they can't pass at that.
Are you in the wishbone?
We kind of run out of a full house. We run an eye. We will also run out of trips. We'll run out of a double wing. So we do a little bit of everything.
And I know you said you guys been on the road the whole time too. I think what people don't realize, and I know we had Jason Newsom on the show. We also had Brad Rose, too, that coaches the third and fourth, I think. But you guys are kind of – you're the little vice, but you guys got to kind of run your own show.
Yeah, we're kind of an independent organization affiliated with them, so we kind of get to do what we want. Yeah.
And you got your parent company of the little vice, and you're kind of the other guys.
That's the satellite.
Like, kind of like we're a single-A baseball team. Yeah. We're like the Indians, who, by the way, are playing tonight in the playoffs. I know we've talked about that.
Well, by the time anybody listens to this, by the time anybody listens to this, we'll already be in the championship series.
There you go. That's right.
We'll already be 3-0.
But I think I think it's really good. And I'd like to just say something about Jason Newsom. I mean, you know, until you've ran a league like I have or he has, or Dennis McKibben does with baseball, you really don't understand how much work goes into it. Sometimes how much grief you take and think, but you're doing it because you love the kids. And I just got to tell you, Newsom's job is a lot harder than like mine because he's got to raise money and do things like that a lot more than I do. And he just does an outstanding job. And if anybody deserves a pat in the back, it's him. He's really, really done a good job with that program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It is.
Well, I told the kids when we got done at Athens, you know, how many kids from Vinton County will have the opportunity to play on sports turf? We'll have the opportunity two nights later. Yeah. We're playing under the lights. You know, you hope all those kids go to the varsity level and play at some point. But, you know, with Bob's dedication, here's some kids that got to do something that a whole lot of kids will never get a chance to do. So it's been really fun.
Sometimes we take our team to Rock Hill, which is like the coolest state.
Oh, I love that place down there.
I did leave one person out, and I did it on purpose. Our main man, going to be probably the third time coach of the year, Randy Hoagland, who the kids really, really love. He's really he does a great job with those kids.
He does.
He's great for me because I have kind of a large ego, and every time I start feeling good about myself,
Randy
brings me back down to earth by telling me how truly worthless I am. So.
He's about 200 yards down the road there if you want to bring him in here.
Jeff's going to take him. Jeff and I Took him one game, and it was good. Now, Randy's a wonderful person, truly one of my best friends in the world, and just a kid. He might talk about Wellston and Michigan a lot, but his heart's right here in Michigan.
That's right.
And he cares. I mean, some of the speeches that he gave to the kids after when we were getting close to being done, I mean, it brought a tear to your eye because he just cares so much about those kids. It's amazing.
He did score a touchdown if you saw it on
film. I saw the video, yeah. That was good.
Go, Randy.
Okay, so we want to get any information you got on the basketball program because it's getting ready to start up, right?
Yeah, no matter what I do, it seems like I never get everybody for signups. I've tried to take them to school, whatever. But the signups, I know Bobby Brown put something on there for South. He runs South. Kyle, gosh, I'm going blank. Kyle Seymour will run West, and I'll run Central. We had one sign up for Central, and anybody from South or West can sign up at those two. Any junior high kid is going. It's in sixth grade or seventh grader who gets cut. We had one this past Saturday from 9 to 12. We're going to have one Wednesday from 6 to 8:30 at the old gym. We'll have another one Saturday from 9 to 12. You can sign up there. We really like to have everybody sign up during one of those schedules. Does anybody ever do it? Very seldom, no matter what we do.
Right.
We put it on the internet. We have it shared. Give it to the schools, but sign up so we'll have it. We generally have, the way I understand it, we probably have the largest standalone league maybe in Southern Ohio, which has been a good league. And this is, I think it's my 29th year or something with it. And it's really been good. I mean, it takes a lot of time, but it's really a wonderful thing because I'm a big believer in numbers. So you have numbers of kids playing. It helps you later on down the road with basketball.
Exactly.
And it's more than just basketball, this league. It's about getting kids involved. You see a lot of our kids come back to play. They're now coaching. Don't even have kids. You see a lot of our kids that currently play that come out and ref, run the clock, do book, good role model stuff. And it's good. And our sponsors have been around forever. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's really cheap. If a kid can't play because they don't have money, we'll waive the cost.
Right.
It costs $25 to play. And it used to be, I kind of funded it myself, but when it went from four teams to 38, I just couldn't do it anymore. But
it's
been a good thing. We also do a thing called the John Prater Memorial Scholarship at the end of the year, which we don't have to do that. We used to have a tournament, but we don't have too much anymore because we raise so much money. We try to give one kid or two kids a $500 scholarship, and I think Brenda told me we've given away $15,000 or $20,000 worth of scholarships.
That's awesome.
Those are kids that have played in our program for 2 years and played 2 years of varsity basketball.
That's
boys
cool.
And girls.
That's really cool. Yeah, and I think your program, and we always kind of talk about what it takes to build a successful program, especially at the high school level, and our basketball program thrives, and I think it directly relates to how you run your league. I really do, because I think that, you know, so many kids love basketball as they go into junior high, and you got those numbers that you need to choose from, and it trickles down to, I mean, our basketball program is amazing, and it really does. It kind of starts with the foundation, and like you said, you have, what, 300 to 350 kids, I think, that play in that league?
It's pretty amazing. I'll just say I was really fortunate. When I was in high school, I played for a guy named Al Berger who was recruited to play both basketball and baseball at Ohio State, and he played on the baseball team, I think, that won a national title, but he kind of did all those leagues. He did an adult league, an evening league, and he put it together. And I kind of learned from him, and just a wonderful thing. And I'm a big believer in letting kids play because forgetting sports for a minute might be the only chance that one of those kids will ever be to be on a team, be around other people. Some of the coaches, you might be as close to a mom or dad as that kid's ever going to have. So you learn some valuable lessons going through that. And the schools have been great. Jeff's sitting here. From what I hear from other schools, it's hard to get in the building. And the taxpayers do own the buildings, and I think our school understands that, lets us use them. The janitorial staff's great. The principals are great. Let us in there. It's good. Takes up about 10 weeks of time.
Right.
But a wonderful thing. And I will say that some of the other school districts now have come to us, and Jeff and I actually went down and assisted Jackson with their program. I've had another school from Perry County wanting us. So we're willing to go out there and help whatever school needs it, and you know, free of charge, because – kids are kids, and you need to help kids everywhere. And I've been really blessed to be involved with the program. I have to admit, getting it organized, I might do a little swearing and things, getting it going, doing the scheduling things. But after it gets going, a kid scores his first basket. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, Jeff?
It sure is. And you know, as Bob said, when we're talking about kids, we may get down to the last game or the second to the last game, and I've known for years that we'll all go, whether we're officiating or we're coaching or whatever we're doing. Do you have a kid on your team that hasn't scored? Yes, it's such and such. Okay, get them on the floor. You want everybody to feel like they've been a part of this thing. I told the kids when we were playing football the other night, my motto for years and years and years is there's no I in team. And when you can teach a child at that age that it's all about the team, it's not about me, it's about the team, it really starts to, it helps them in the classroom, it helps them in life, it helps them in everything.
And I'll add, most of our kids also play travel ball, so we try to do our schedules mm-hmm. in the mornings, work around everybody's schedule, work, whatever, so they can play travel ball. But I think the most important thing, travel ball is great because you get to play other teams, but most of the time our teams here are just as good as most of the travel teams. And if they're playing here, you're getting like 10, 12 more games, plus you're getting involved with your teammates, because you can go play other travel ball you want, but you got to be involved with your teammates here.
Right.
And it's a wonderful thing. It helps build camaraderie when you get to high school. Some of the kids that don't play, they're in the crowd rooting for their former teammates and things like that.
Right.
So, and I will say, Matt Combs has been great working with me over the years. He's been a good combination. Rod Bentley. Probably no one who loves Rod Bentley more than I do. Rod Bentley's like the greatest thing in the world. Greatest guy in the world. Completely insane, but in a good way. He's really really turned around that girls program. And Matt Combs is Matt's as much serious as Rod is sometimes not, but Rod, when he wants to, is very serious. And we're just really fortunate to have those two guys. I mean, Matt's record speaks for itself. I mean,
yes,
he may be the youngest coach in Ohio history to get 500 wins when he's all said and done. Yeah. And I think Rod has turned around that program well. He's sent several kids to the next level.
Right, yes.
So we're really fortunate to have those two. They work well together. They work well with me. And they both share their kids with us to come down to referee. And I think they both understand the importance of being role models and giving back to the community.
That's right.
Awesome.
It's an awesome program. I remember when I played in it.
Well, you played for me.
Yeah, I did.
My son used to say, I think one time we went on a road trip, and I said, which team do you want to be manager for? And he said, I want to be with Lamb Chop. So he played for me.
MacArthur Bobcats.
Yes, sir, the Bobcats.
Fourth place in the Mark Sykes tournament.
That's right. That's right.
The old Alexander Middle School.
I wish I would have kept track of how many games I've coached or how many teams, because I probably had thousands, because I think I was at a wedding once, and the best man was his brother was getting married, and the best man in the the groom was very intoxicated. I did the wedding and basically got up and said, Bob Grill, if you'd stand up, I don't care what they say about Coach K, you probably have more wins. I says, and losses probably. But it's okay. But it was a pretty good time. So.
Yeah, it's a great program.
It is.
I mean, I still have memories from playing back then. It was great. I remember 99 after the season, we all met at the new Fireman's Hall.
Right, because we watched the Buckeyes.
And we watched the Ohio State Final Four game against UConn, Penn and those guys. And
That
was awesome.
It was cool, and that was one of my favorite teams because I had two teams.
Had two.
And I was a big believer. Everybody said, we usually would make it to the finals of the tournament and sometimes play each other. But everybody said, if you went together, this team would be really good. I said, that's not the idea. It's a numbers game. And that team, actually, if you remember, went on to be the first team to make it to the They didn't win the district, but they made it to the district finals. And that team had we had Oozley on one team. We had Jordy Brooks. We had Chris Neal. The other team had Greg Powell, Chris Bethel.
Yep.
So, you had the guys. Everybody was playing. And the idea is not really winning championships there. It's about getting kids playing and learning the right way. And if we go out, every time we go, Jeff can tell us, when we go to the leagues, we play in the Hockey Valley League, other stuff. People love the Benton County kids because they all behave real well.
Right.
We have code of conduct, so we make them sign everything. But there is very well liked, very well respected. We go to Nelsonville. Everybody likes the Vinton kids because they always behave. The coaches do, and we try to tell our coaches, act civilized because there's going to be groups coming after you. Don't get technicals, things like that. I have never had a technical, by the way, in 30 years of coaching.
Really?
In 30 years of coaching, not even close. Not even.
Wow.
Is there any way we can get you fired up?
Well, no.
Let me take that back.
If you don't care. I did get a technical.
Yeah, I know.
There is Pete Abley, who's Court of Appeals judge, myself, probate juvenile judge, and Jim Sayer, County Court judge, and Randy Hogan was our other coach. And so we go out, we break the huddle, and it was at Nelsonville, actually. We break the huddle, we turn around, the official comes over and says, technical. I said, what, did somebody say something? They go, no. 6 men on the floor, and Randy occasionally cusses. He did cuss and said, oh, my, and he used a couple of cuss words. He goes, 3 judges, and none of them can count to 5. I can count to 5. So we got a technical foul for that. So that's the only one we ever got.
I thought there was a technical somewhere.
Yeah, that was it. So. All right, sorry.
That's great. That is great.
Okay, so just a couple questions here about you guys and what you've done over the years. I mean, anybody that's ever – I remember being a little kid, and a lot of people think I'm nuts because I've done some games with Athens, on the radio and stuff. But I always remember being a little kid and having, this portable radio and listening to you guys I would set it in the yard and listen
There's
to you guys
one
do games.
There's a second. The
no, yeah. Seriously. Okay. But I would, I would throw the football to myself and try to act out the plays that you guys were saying when I was just this little kid. And I always thought how cool it was and how it would be so awesome to do that one day. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of living our dream here, I mean, doing this podcast. But I'm just telling you guys, I've listened to you guys my whole life, and what year, I think you guys said it before the show, what year did you guys start doing
88,
this?
88, I thought. 88,
okay, so yeah. my question for you is, who were we on the radio before you guys started doing it, or who did it, or how was that?
I think what happened was a guy named Sollers, who's deceased
Jim
now.
Jim Sollers,
he was doing it, and he had a Jack Detty, who was an attorney from Jackson, would help him. And Mr. Sollers then got Jeff and I then started going, because Jack didn't do it the next year, and then...
he passed away.
He passed away, so Jeff and I started doing it. And so we've been doing it probably together since – we've been going together since 88, going to games, but then probably in 89, 90s when we started just us two pretty much.
Yeah, I actually started as a stat guy.
Yeah,
he was okay.
A stat guy. And him and Jim did the play-by-play and everything, and Bob was actually caller then when
– Larry Arthur would do something
yeah,
with us.
And then he passed away, and then they called and said, do you guys think you could still do it? And I said, well, I suppose we can, and there we are.
You could say, though, that they might be the reason we dominated the 90s more than O'Rourke.
I mean, could be, because that's
time.
When they
Who's
came
really
in.
To say
so you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Oh, we probably know.
I'm pretty sure we know. It wasn't us.
All right, so you guys, I've got like 1,000 questions I could ask you, but obviously you guys have seen it all pretty much. What and I know you do football. You do football every year. You've done every game. Basketball, you do the majority of the games. Let's just stick with football here, but over the last however many years you've been doing this, what, and I'll ask each one of you to separate, what's one, the main thing, like the most memorable thing that you have seen in those years?
Go ahead.
Well, I think that for me it was the ability to broadcast your own kid. I mean, you know, I had a son play football for 4 years and then going to play a year at college, and just the changes that have taken place, and you know, we've went through so many coaches and so many different things, but I know you know, we try to interview the seniors when they're done, and that's kind of a blessed yet cursed moment, because you're like, oh yeah, this is great, and this is my son, and this is this, but that's all, it's done, it's finished. And then like in basketball, I've had kids play in basketball too, and I remember Bob getting choked up interviewing his daughter as a cheerleader and stuff, and you know, it's just, I'll tell you get so close with these kids, and not just ours, you know, our own flesh and blood. We haven't had kids play for what, several years now, but you feel like it's family. That's what we told the kids at the second grade level with football. You know, this is your family, and to me, that feeling is the most special thing. That's why we keep doing it. You know, it's not about money. It's not about anything other than it's a chance to really be a part of young people's lives and hopefully at some point in time make just a little bit of difference.
That's good.
I would agree with Jeff because, you know, me, maybe a little different because I've coached about every kid in this county. So when I see him on senior night, it's kind of a big moment for me because even though I only have two kids, I feel like I have about 2,000. So I've been really blessed in that regard. And it's really kind of touching when you talk to him. And then you'll see a guy, maybe it's now 30, and you see him, and you just remember his nickname, and they like that. So every time I see Sean Amerheim, I say, Sean Primetime Amerheim. And he just loves that. And, you know, it's just those are the things I remember, and you kind of develop bonds with these kids. And I will say this, in my other job that I do, probate juvenile judge, I never see the kids that I have playing sports in 4-H. You almost never see them in court. When they do, they don't like it very much. They don't want to be there because they're embarrassed, because we have a healthy respect for each other. But I think when you have kids in sports, things like that, they stay out of trouble. And I will say there's been kids through the years that have been in trouble that we've gotten involved in sports, whether it be football, basketball, wrestling a lot, that have really, really done well. And those are the kind of kids that really, really make you proud. Of course, we don't talk about that in the air, but you know, that you can tell when you're talking to a kid, you know, you've had a special bond with them and things like that.
That's right. That's cool. Okay, so Lugs has one final question for you guys that you don't know yet. We have not disclosed this question.
Yeah.
We don't disclose questions to each other until we're there on the radio.
There's a lot of prep work.
We don't disclose our any show.
Right.
It's okay.
Okay, so here's the question of the day, I think. And this, I've been waiting on this in the whole interview. This is great. I know, of course, I do stats. So 50% of the time, I'm right beside Bob and Jeff most of the time while they're doing the radio.
We apologize.
And yeah, it's awesome. I love it, by the way. I mean,
it's the off-the-air comments.
Yeah. If they could do a side podcast on the stuff said off the air, it'd be the most humorous thing you've probably ever heard, to be honest with you. It's great. So, but I just want to get Jeff a little bit of time to talk a little bit about the band that he was in.
Oh, here we go.
Is there
going to
be a reunion?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to know the name of the band.
Talking.
I want to know who was in the band, when this started, and if it's still going on. And I want to know, I will put a song on my website for you. If we can just
good
get
luck
a,
if you
a,
could ever find
an album.
One.
There is an album.
That's a different
can
band.
Can you convert 8-track?
There's one of those, too.
Convert 8-track.
See, we're older. You guys.
Well, Jeff, I want to hear this, too, because I've kind of, the legend's kind of moved on, but I mean,
it has, thank God.
My generation wants to know. I mean, I want to know about this band. I want to know about it. I hear a lot about the banter, but I don't hear enough details. So let's start out.
Thank goodness there's not a lot of detail anymore. It was actually called Iron Wood, not Iron Weed.
Well, what's it?
Iron Weed.
Yeah. go ahead.
And it's kind of gotten itself its own personality over there.
It's following right now.
It was myself and Glenn Saylor and Jeff Young and let me think here. There's another Jeff. I can't think of Jeff's last name. He works at AutoZone.
Jeff Gordon.
No. Him too. No. I can't even think of his name. Anyway, it was one of those things. We started out, Glenn called one day, and Glenn Saylor is an amazing musician. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. Let me say that to you right now. And he called one day and he said, hey, let's just for fun put something together and play a little bit. And we played, I think the first time we ever played, we played 5 songs at the 4th of July celebration.
Right.
And then we went on and played different places. We played at, you know, Eagles and some different things.
We
played at Jackson High School when Bob was gone, thank goodness. And
I wouldn't have abused you.
Yes, he would have. But it was just something to do, and it was kind of fun. And we stayed together for a couple years, and it was just kind of fun. We just kind of traveled around and had a good time, and, you know.
So was it a cover band, or did you guys write your own music?
No, we just pretty much did cover bands.
So was this like a hair band, like a...
Well, it's hard to believe, but it might have been at one point, but not now. Yeah.
If the hair part is gone.
If the hair part is gone, we could pull off.
I'm sorry. I had to ask that.
What's the band that was here not too long ago for the Turkey Festival? That was a hair band, and some of them look like me because I saw them, you know, getting ready, and it was the wig thing and the band.
The Kiss tribute band.
Yeah, some of those guys.
I got to ask. Okay, so what were you, the lead singer? What were you in this
band? I was the lead singer.
You were the lead singer?
I was the lead singer.
We need a reunion show. You need to gather these guys up,
of
man.
Ironweed.
Well, actually, the 4th was trying to talk. They called me, I forget who it was, called me and said, hey, we're trying to put some old bands together. And I know they contacted Ron Hayes to see if he could put his group together. And I called some of the guys, and they're like, nah.
Well, don't seem as much fun
what
anymore,
was the,
right?
What was the band you were in prior to Ironweed or Weed, whichever it is?
Oh, that was after. And that was actually a gospel band.
That was the one you did the
that was
album
the album, yeah. I actually made a couple
what
albums.
Name of that group?
That was Gospel Street. That was traveling around on a
Jeff
bus
appears,
and the whole schmear.
Now, you know, that Burt Reynolds once posed for Cosmopolitan magazine, but Jeff in the blue
powder blue leisure suit
with
a silk shirt.
With a afro. Yeah. Was one impressive sight. And I did see that album.
That picture was taken at the library. Yeah, I've got a copy of the album somewhere.
Wow. Yeah, we need that picture.
Yeah, that picture was taken at the library in Chillicothe. I know where that was.
The picture did make its round through the booth a couple of times. Maybe some inappropriate language brought by our other broadcast partner at the time.
Jim, yeah. Jim drew some pictures. It was kind of interesting.
I've been wondering that for the last 2 years. Yeah, that was it. I constantly hear it, but I've never heard the detail.
I sit there in the booth, and I'm thinking, my gosh, what did I do to deserve to be around someone so famous? I don't know how. You know, and then he got kind of big for us a couple of years ago because he was getting first billing and everything, and he refused to ride with us.
Didn't travel with him and Jim. I've never heard the end of that.
He refused to ride with Jim and I. He went separate.
Had his own bus, taking him to
like
the games.
He's kind of like John Madden.
Yeah.
I guess you're a rock diva, I guess you always are.
You know. Well, I know.
Certain
when you've got your own bus, what can I tell you, dude?
I don't get that kind of publicity.
I think there should be like a pre-show on the radio. You give him a song.
Oh, that'd be good.
Song, come back.
Have you ever heard Bob sing?
by the way? No, since we're talking about my singing.
Yeah. I would love to hear both. You guys should do a duet. That would be even better.
I will tell you what we did a road trip not too long ago, and for some, I mean, it had to have been some in the stars. We both started singing a song, and it was pretty bad.
It was really pretty bad.
Good time.
He hasn't gone on a road trip with me since.
No.
That's why he drives that.
I wonder, Bob always shows up to the, like, Jeff shows up to the games about an hour and a half before. We always have a little powwow, and we talk a lot before the game starts.
Right.
Bob shows up at 7:28 before the game starts.
And that's early.
Yeah, and he's avoiding him now, I guess is what it is. Yeah.
He knows he just has to come in and do it. He's
just
always
goes.
Prepared. Yeah. He's ready on the spot.
And he doesn't miss a beat, too. He gets right on the headset and he goes. Yeah.
Sometimes they get the wrong team.
For the first minute.
We've done that
a couple
times.
A couple of minutes, yeah.
That's great. I did what I asked. I thought that would be really cool to give your band a shout-out. That's awesome,
great
man.
Question.
Probably made the show right there.
So it's Ironwood.
Wood.
Ironwood.
Well, yeah, it's not going to be next week.
Facebook is going to blow up about Ironwood.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably going to get dropped at least a couple times on the broadcast this Friday.
Oh, it always does.
At least twice.
Yeah, I've went from lead singer to drummer to lead guitar player. I couldn't play guitar to save my soul, and yeah, all those things.
I think last week we had you writing deep
writing music
for
Smoke on the Water.
Harley last week.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
We are surrounded by talent.
Okay. So that'll wrap it up. We coming back with the playoff.
We'll do the
we'll take a look at the regions next, and we'll wrap the show up.
Yeah. Player of the week.
Right? Oh yeah, the player of the week. Yeah. Right. Welcome back to episode 8.1 of the Viking Red Zone podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting, with two locations in Albany and Jackson. One call does it all, 698-3521. Lugs, we're going to do a special new segment. We've kind of hinted about this the last couple of weeks, about doing a kind of a playoff watch style segment where we kind of give the... over the TBC Ohio teams, we'll just give their position in the playoffs right now as we're kind of getting down to it, man. You know, these wins down the stretch, and there's some teams that are still alive in the TBC, and it's going to be pretty fun to watch. But we actually have a new sponsor on board, Cantor Surveying out of Athens. Cantor Surveying, Robert C. Cantor, professional surveyor. Their address is 6801 State Route 56 in Athens, Ohio, 45701. Their office phone number is 740-592-5706. You can also reach them on a cell phone. Robert's cell phone is 740-591-0324. Their email is cantor@cangps.com. And they also have a website, cangps.com. Check them out, Cantor Surveying. And this new, so we're going to kind of make this gear this title towards Cantor. So it's going to be Surveying the Regional Rankings.
Nice.
Brought to you by Cantor Surveying.
Yep.
And we really appreciate Cantor coming on board with us. Hopefully it's going to turn into a multi-year relationship if we don't get ran out of town for doing the show after this year.
Yep.
So, yeah. So it's the Cantor Surveying Regional Rankings. And if you want to, Lugs, you can go ahead and kind of run down through the teams in the TVC.
Okay, we're going to start out the lowest ranked team right now in all the divisions. Of course, we're Vinton County. We're Division 3, Region 11. We are 19th in Division 3, Region 11 right now.
We're second lowest.
We are the second lowest.
Second lowest.
Yes.
Out of all the TVCO teams.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
To go to the lowest, Alexander, Division 5, Region 19. They are ranked number 24.
Yes.
Wellston, Division 5, Region 19, which most of the teams are in Region 19 for TVC right now. They are 18 in Division 5, Region 19. We have Meigs, who is Division 4, Region 16 right now. They are ranked 17th in theirs. River Valley, Division 5, Region 19. They are ranked 15. And we get to the two that are obviously got the best shot right now. So Athens, Division 3, Region 11, they're ranked 9th. They're one spot out of the playoffs right now. So they've definitely got a great shot at making it. Number 4, or Nelsonville, York, Division 5, Region 19. Same as Alexander, Wellston, River Valley. They are ranked 4th right now, so they are way ahead of the curve right now. They're definitely in a good shot to make the playoffs this year. Probably could lose a game and maybe still make it, depending on how the season goes for them. But.
Yeah, I think so. And we'll start with Nelsonville because they are the highest ranked TVC Ohio team in their respective region, which most of the teams are Region 19. What would you say, 4?
5.
5?
Yeah, Division 5.
Yeah, but 4 teams are in Region 19.
Yeah, 4,
the TVC app.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
4 out of 7.
Nelsonville York sets at 4 right now. That's hosting. That's a home game in the first round of the playoffs. And if it ended today, they would actually be playing Union Local, which I don't know much about them. The one thing that I do know about Region 19 Lugs is that Wheelersburg is in Region 19.
Yes, and I would have never guessed they were a Division 5 school, by the way.
They are.
Wow.
They are a Division 5 school.
That is a powerhouse Division 5 school.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody wants to have to play them. Right now, the way it sets, Zane Trace, which we all know they play Piketon, Zane Trace is in the 8th spot, so they would be matched up against Wheelersburg.
Wow.
Piketon, which I think Wheelersburg is the team that beat them last year in the playoffs, St. Trace. They were 35-0 was the score of that game, so I'm sure they don't want to see Wheelersburg again either.
Yeah.
Piketon, they're ninth, so there's an 8 and a 9 game coming up this Friday night.
Wow. Yep.
So it's going to be huge playoff implication-wise at the back end. Memphis there in 11th, Ironton's in 12th. Rock Hill is in 13th, Portsmouth 14th. Then you got River Valley at 5-2 and 15th. And Wellston 3-4 at 18th. Honestly, Wellston and River Valley, you know, being that far behind with the teams in front of them, it's going to be hard for them for either one of them to make it. Either one of those two to make it. The only chance either of those teams have is if they went out.
Yeah.
And you know, River Valley would be looking at 8-2 if they went out. I just with the schedule that they've had, I just don't know if that's going to be enough. It'll get them close. And it's possible that they could sneak in, but like I said, I don't expect them to. Wellston, if they went out, they'll be 6-4. I don't think that's going to be good enough to make it either. But you never know how the region's going to fall.
Yeah, so you'd think 8-2 would definitely give them a shot. Like I said, doesn't guarantee them, but it is Division 5.
Right,
8-2 at Division 5 is probably going to get them close.
But the thing with River Valley is, if you look at the schedule that they've played, they're not getting a whole lot of help from the teams that they've beaten.
Really,
Meigs Eastern, Reedsville Eastern. That's the only team that they've beaten with a winning record, and they're a Division 7 school. So they're getting points from Eastern, but they're not getting a whole lot because they're D7.
Yeah.
And River Valley's D5. But they did beat Eastern. They're 4-3. And then you look at the other games that they've won. They obviously beat Wellston, who's 3-4. And just behind them in the rankings. But Guy Academy, 0-7. South Point, 0-7. Alexander, 1-6. They're not getting any points for these wins hardly at all. So,
yeah.
With that said, though, you look at the last three games for River Valley. You got Vinton County, who's going to be close to a 500 team, somewhere around a 500 team, but when it's all said and done. Okay? They're Division 3. That could be some big-time points. You got Athens, Division 3. They're already 5-2, so they're going to be no worse than 500.
Yep.
They're Division 3. That's big-time points. And then if somehow, in the final week of the year, they could upset the Waverly Tigers, who will be 8-1 when they go into that game at Bidwell. It is at home. If they can upset them, I think that they probably could be really close because that would be a ton, absolute ton of points if they could beat the Waverly Tigers. But they're going to have to win out. Here's one thing, though. I'll put it this way. If River Valley makes the playoffs, they've earned it. They've definitely earned it because the back end of this schedule compared to the front end is heads and tails difference.
And to be honest, if Athens would win out, you know, and I'm not sure exactly how the point systems go, but you would think a 7-3 River Valley that has beaten Athens team ought to darn near make the playoffs. But I guess it depends on how Athens ends up doing too. But
right. Yeah, I mean, if Athens goes 7-3 and their only loss from here on out is River Valley, then it's definitely going to help them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. It's going to be close, man. They have to beat Waverly. That's a playoff game right there. All of them from here on out are for these teams that are on the fringe. But definitely big-time games coming up for River Valley.
Yeah.
The Athens Bulldogs set at 9 in Region 11, like you said, they're in our region, Benton County 19. VC, you know, if they somehow could upset a couple teams here and finish 6-4, which starting the year out, nobody ever would have thought was possible. But yeah, here we are talking about it.
Yep.
You know, it's definitely not going to get them in the playoffs, but would put them up in the top 15. I'm pretty sure. Which would be the highest we've finished in probably 10 years in you know, our region.
And something to build on.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Especially, you know, for the fact that nobody really expected Benton County to win any more than 2-3 games tops. And, and right now we've got 3 games left and we've already won 3 and we've lost 2 games by 10 points. And, you know, so, you know, I think it's definitely something to build off of. They just have to finish the season strong. I think the playoffs are – pretty much a foregone conclusion at this point, but Athens sets at 9. They've got a lot to play for. It's kind of the same boat as Region 19. Columbus DeSales is in Region 11, and nobody wants to play them either.
Yeah, no,
especially Logan, who has to play them this week.
Wow.
So that's going to be a tough one.
That one didn't make our rapid fire predictions either.
No, no.
You got to assume with Athens, though. I mean, obviously, they got a great shot at winning out. And, of course, that Nelsonville game is going to be a tail. If they're close, a win over a Nelsonville team ought to catapult them the rest of the way. But I think they're going to be up in there before it gets out.
Right. And I think a win over River Valley would help them, too. Because River Valley is going to finish with 6, maybe 7, probably 6 wins, maybe 5, 6, 7 wins. So that's going to be a solid win over a Division Five school. School that's a little bit smaller, but they're still going to get some points from that. So even if they don't, here's the thing. It's just like the other teams. If they win out, they're locked. They're locked in. The Nelsonville game, the Nelsonville York game would give them a tremendous amount of points if they could win that one. And would definitely give them a game. I don't know if Athens could get up enough to get a home game because right now they sit at number 9. There's a lot of good teams ahead of them. Marietta, Beechcroft, Eastmore, Chillicothe sets at 5 at 6-1. Yeah. Although Chillicothe's last few games were really, really tough. That's a school that they could maybe jump if Chillicothe kind of falls towards the end, but we'll have to see how it goes. Every week is huge.
And we've talked about this final game between Athens and Nelsonville. If they both went out to that point, Nelsonville loses and probably still makes the playoffs. Yeah. Athens
will be close.
Do they lose, it'll be close. But
it'll be close.
I mean, they're going to be right there, too.
If they win out, they'll make it. If they lose that Nelsonville York game, it'll be close. But definitely Nelsonville York, if they win out to the Athens game in Week 10 and lose, I still think they make it at 7-3. But here's the thing.
They may not host, though.
Well, they won't host.
Yeah.
But you don't want the 8th spot. You might as well take the 9th spot, because if you get that 8th spot in Region 19, you got to go to Wheelersburg and play.
Yeah.
You can ask a lot of schools. That's not where you want to be. So,
yep.
And also, we'll toss this out there. Jackson, got a lot of Jackson listeners. They are 12th at 5-2, and they have some pretty big games coming up still. Actually, wrapped up the SEOL championship last week. So
1-0,
2-0.
Yeah. 2-0.
So congratulations to them on the final in forevermore.
Yep.
Southeastern Ohio Athletic League champions.
Hey, like I said, they're at home the rest of the time, too.
So they are at home.
They got a long shot at making it, I think, right? But, I mean,
yeah, I think they're another team that obviously they have to win out.
Yeah.
But I think they can. I think it's possible that they do win out. And I know they got some pretty big schools coming up. They got a West Virginia school that they play in Week 10. But I think they can. I think they can make it. So, Megs, we'll finish up talking about Megs in Division 4, Region 16. Meg's obviously sets at 3 and 4, and they are in 17th. Mm-hmm. Meg's is going to have to win out, no question about it. They're going to have to finish 6 and 4.
Probably if, still not going to make it.
If they do, I don't think so, because yeah. you got to look. If you look at the teams in Region 16, I'll just run through their records of the top 9. Schools in Region 16, 7-0, 6-1, 6-1, 7-0, 6-1, 6-1, 6-1, 5-2, 5-2.
Yeah.
So chances are those teams up top aren't going to finish 6-4.
Yeah.
And if Megs wins out, they'll finish 6-4. And I don't think their schedule is going to be as tough as those schools. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So.
I would say Megs is a long shot, but if I'm just looking at the list right now, Athens has a chance. River Valley has a chance. Nelson, New York has a chance. That's what I would say. We've got three teams vying to make it. I think the Buckeyes are locked. The only way that we get two teams in is if Athens can beat Nelson, New York in Week 10. If not, I think we're just going to have Nelson, New York, and that's it, which happens. Sometimes that happens. There's a lot of years where the TVC sends multiple teams. The Ohio Division, the Hawking Division always sends multiple teams, but they have 500.
Yeah.
to send so
South Gallia last year 6-4 I think right it, or 5-5.
Well, it's like every year they send three or four teams. So
so
it's going to be interesting. We'll keep an eye on it and we'll keep you posted. Things will change every week, so we'll do our best to stay on top of it. And that is your Canter surveying the regions. All right, welcome back to the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. It's time for the VCVikings.com Player of the Week.
Da, 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 da.
Who is on the ticket this week? And we have some big-time numbers.
Yes, we do, and this was a huge week. Obviously, we played Federal Hawking at Federal Hawking. All right, the three guys on the list this week, Week 7 of the TVC. Nalen Yates, 24 of 32, 487 yards passing, 6 touchdowns. Again, a single-game passing yardage record, as well as the touchdown record, broken Ryan Stewart's record.
How many years have we gone for a season and not thrown for 487 yards?
Well, I know last year he threw for 600, so he's... It's been a long time before Nalen Yates, let's just say that. It's been 2000 and, I want to say probably 2008 or 9 would be my guess. I don't know if, did any long throw that much? He might have.
I don't think so. I don't think.
We've had many years where 487 would have been great, though, definitely.
For the season.
For the season, yes.
And this was in one game.
Yeah. And the odd thing, and of course he gets on the list, it's an amazing accomplishment. But he broke his own record. He just did a few weeks ago.
Right, week two versus Viking,
The crazy thing about Nalen is he's raising the bar so high for himself that if he gets 250 yards, we're almost like, he ain't player of the week. You know what I mean?
Right, he's not even on the list.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get enough now. Come
right.
on, man.
Right.
So it's kind of crazy to think of the numbers he's putting up. And, you know, props to him, obviously. You know, I mean, what he's doing is amazing and the records and – I mean, I've done stats now for 2 years, and I know we've kept a close eye on stats. You know, we've had to book a Bolander for years and years and years. We never had records broken until last year when Timmy Uzi started breaking them.
Right.
And Nalen's making it look easy. I mean, he's just crushing record after record. So.
Well, then there was one other record that went down by Nalen this week.
Which record is that?
The single season record.
The season, yes, that's exactly right.
So another record went down too.
And I don't have his exact numbers right now. I think it's like 1,430 total.
Yeah, and the record was 11.
Yeah, 1,100. So yeah, it was.
So that went down as well.
Yeah.
Which all he needed, I think, was just a little over 100 yards to break it.
Yeah.
Coming into the game, so we all kind of felt like he would get that.
Yes.
And, man, he totally cruised by that one. And yeah, he still has three games left. That's the scary part.
And here's what's crazy about that record. 1,174 yards by Mark Bullock in guess what year?
1969.
He broke a 1969 record. By the way, the single game record that he broke earlier in the year was from 1970 from Jerry Cottle.
Right.
Now he just broke a 1969 passing record with 1,174 yards, and he's up to like 1,400. So, I mean, he's going to have a legitimate shot at hitting 2,000 yards passing in a season, and no one in the history of Vinton County has ever done that. So, yeah.
Wow.
Really impressive. So, okay, we will move on to the next candidate, Jaden Spires. We've seen him on this list a few times. You know, our freshman wide receiver. Having an amazing year for a freshman, having an amazing year for a senior. Five receptions, 201 yards, three touchdowns. Tied Sean Speakman's 1990 touchdown record in a game with three. So that's another record that got broke this week by Jaden Spires. 201 yards is 20 yards shy, I believe, from Ryan Cottle's record he had in 97 against Wellston.
Right.
So he almost broke the single-game passing yardage record or receiving yardage record. And he tied the touchdown record in the seventh game in his high school career as a freshman. You know, I mean, pretty crazy. And I tell you, and take nothing away from Nayland in this game. Obviously, 487 yards is insane. But Jaden Spires' yards after catch were amazing in this game. I mean, he was catching right. the ball 10 yards and making that play, you know, and then going downfield. And I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit. These aren't 80-yard bombs he's catching. He's catching them 10 yards and turning them into 50. And
right, he's earning it. Yeah, in that yardage.
He had a heck of a game. So, okay, third person on the list, and this one is the one. This is his first time on the Player of the Week list. Donnie Stevens, five receptions, 90 yards, one touchdown, five and a half tackles. Led the team in tackles on defense this week. Had one forced fumble and one broke up pass. Donnie Stevens was just doing everything in this game. I mean, everything. I mean, the five receptions was tied for leading the team for receptions this week. 90 yards and a touchdown. I mean, I don't think he's had anywhere close to 90 yards in receptions so far this year. Big day. Plus, he did it on the defensive side of the ball. And I mean, you see these crazy numbers like passing for Nayland, and you see the crazy receiving yards for Jaden. But he was contributing on offense and defense, and
right.
and that's a really big deal. So we want to get him on the list this week and give him the props he deserved because that was a big performance by him.
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay, so do you want me to announce the winner or do you want to announce it?
You can go ahead and announce it.
All right, man. I'm going to announce it. I just want to point out that we're not giving away numbers. This was the closest vote in VCVikings.com Player of the Week voting ever. The closest votes. And the winner this week for the Week 7 Player of the Week goes to Jaden Spires.
Wow.
Freshman wide receiver gets Player of the Week.
I tell you what, if you beat somebody that just broke three records in one game,
yeah.
you did something yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's awesome.
Yeah.
201 yards, three touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's great. Five receptions, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think I put him up to 20 receptions now for the season. The record's 29. Again, Caleb Montgomery just tied the record. He has 29 now, so he is tied with three games to go. For the most receptions in a season. So, you know, we got Caleb Montgomery that's there too, and then Jaden's right behind him. So, I mean, these two are kind of competing for everything right now. It's really
right.
cool to watch them go. But, I mean, obviously our wide receiving core is getting better every week, and Jaden is a huge part of that factor. His confidence is growing every week. We see it on the field. He caught a ball in this game, and I mean, you talked about it earlier. He literally caught the ball, and it's the third quarter when he caught it, and he's bobbling the pass. And there's two guys between him, and he's getting ready to get clocked. And he catches the ball, kind of hurdles between both of them, kind of bobbling, takes off and goes 81 yards for a touchdown. And what a play. You know, I mean, that was an amazing play. And the kid, and Nathan Yates' 487 yards was awesome. But, I mean, Jaden worked hard to get him 201 yards of that. I mean,
that was a
great performance. So, super proud of Jaden. You know, a good kid, good freshman. We're glad to see him out there contributing on the team this year. And every week's getting better and better. So, now he's you know, raising the bar for him, too. So, let's keep building on that. Congratulations, Jaden.
Okay. So, it's going to wrap it up, right?
That wraps up our Monday episode.
So, Monday episode's in the books.
Yep.
We definitely thank Bob Grillo and Jeff Thacker for showing up and doing the majority of the show with us. They had to leave a little early.
They did.
But they're busy people. You know?
They are. They're busy people. We will have them back here for our rapid fire predictions.
We will, yeah. Thursday, on Thursday's show, we'll have them back for that segment. We have to continue that tradition with the guest picks. Mm-hmm. So, so we will see everybody on Thursday.
Yeah. See you guys on Thursday.